I was thinking as he was singing that, I was thinking just of our country. And you don't see much patriotic type things anymore. The patriotism, I know when 9/11 happened, there were several men that and women that decided that they weren't going to let this place fall without a fight. Our country, that being said, think about, you know, World War One, 2 days, even you can roll it all back to Revolutionary days, how men didn't go join up because it was a desirable job. They loved what they believed in. And they believed it so much that they were willing, as he said in that song, and they were willing to leave all they had to go fight for something they truly believed in. And I wonder this morning, you know, this isn't the message, but I wonder this morning, with what we're gathered here this morning, you know, we get so accustomed. I was praying this morning as we opened up this morning. I was thanking the Lord that we have the freedoms to come to a church and without any reservation. There's no threat. There's no danger. You know, there's people today that are somewhere in a hidden church that love the Lord. And if they were found out, they would be killed or beaten. But we don't have that here. We're freely here this morning. Nobody's, well, some of you youngins will say, well, I wouldn't be here, Mom, Daddy. Thank God you got a Mom and Daddy that loves you to bring you. You know, I'm so thankful for what we have. But it is a dying thing, I'm afraid, that, you know, we're losing a lot of that liberty because people, and when I say people, here we are, people. We don't understand, you know, as those men would leave home, family, believing in what their belief was to go fight for it, I'm afraid that we don't understand this morning the importance of the church of God. It's not a place of socialism. It's not a place of coming in and going out. It's a place that if we really understood why we were here this morning, we are that last line of defense. We are the instrument that God has placed in this world to reach them with that glorious gospel, something that would change their lives and their destiny from a place of hell to a place of eternal life with the Lord. And I believe it's worth fighting for, amen? Listen, church, if we don't fight for it, nobody else will, amen? And we ought to have such a belief in what we're doing. It's not something that some man has put in there, but there's a desire in our hearts that we're not going to stop praying. We're not going to stop witnessing. We're not going to stop reading our Bibles. We're not going to stop doing the things that God has called us to do, no matter what man might say, because we know it's simply what is right. So we need some grit back in our growl, amen? And I want to encourage you to pray about that. All right, take your Bibles this morning to the book of John. John chapter 14 this morning. We're going to look at another truth this morning. I mean, the Bible's, it's what the Bible is. It's truth. But we're going to, I preached a few weeks ago on a truth that you don't hear a whole lot about. And I actually had a person get very upset and said he'd never be back. And that's, again, that's between him and the Lord. And but we preached on hell. We don't hear a lot of talk, a lot of preaching on hell. We think everybody's going to heaven. They're not. Just because you're sitting here this morning don't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you've been baptized doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just because you're a good man or a good woman or just because mom and daddy's this or that doesn't mean you're going to heaven. Just as real as heaven is this morning, there is a place called hell. And we preached on that a few weeks ago and tried our best just to mind the Lord there on that truth of there is a hell this morning. And I want to say this morning, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there's only one way to heaven this morning, and the Bible says you must be born again. It's through the finished work of Christ that a man can go to heaven. So I hope you know the Lord this morning, and you've got a home in heaven this morning. But we're going to look at another thing this morning. Now, I know just as hell is, for the majority of us this morning, we say, well, yeah, preacher, we know there is a hell. But how hot is hell to you this evening or this morning? How real is hell to you this morning? Do you really believe that right now people that you call loved ones, people you say you love and you pray for, people you would hate to get the phone call and say, hey, so-and-so just died, and then the thought in your mind, oh, no, they're in hell. If hell is really that real to us, we'd be busy telling everybody we could about the way out of hell, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're going to look at something else this morning that I believe that the church itself has got very cold to, that it's got very accustomed to, But it's a truth that it could happen any moment this morning. So we want to preach this thought this morning. The Lord is coming back. The Lord is coming back. Well, preacher, I know that. Well, if you know that this morning, then why are we so lax in the thought that He is coming at any moment this morning? So let's stand together here as we read John chapter 14 this morning. John chapter 14, we'll read several verses, not just here in John, but we're going to read several verses this morning here as we go through the sermon this morning. So keep your Bibles handy if you will. The Bible says this. This is the Lord speaking here in John chapter 14. Not the preacher, not some Baptist church that wrote this thing up. This is what the Lord Himself says. He was telling His disciples, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me." And friend, this morning, that's what gets me through my day. That's what gets me through my day, day after day, that the Lord told me not to let my heart be troubled. I'm troubled many times. Me and Brother Tony was talking yesterday. We was out here putting the banners and things up, and we got talking, and just about general, you know, way we see things and what's going on in our world. And basically, you know, me and Brother Tony was talking, I'd like to slap some people because they're so stupid. But that wouldn't do any good. But it makes me mad. It bothers me, and it should. But I'm glad this morning that all the chaos of our world that's spinning around and around, and with social media and all the internet, instantly we're constantly bombarded with bad, 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 bad. Things happen, we hear about it, bad, bad, bad. I can, in my heart and in my soul, I can be at peace because I know the truth of what God is saying. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, and I hope you do this morning." He says, "Believe also in Me." That's the key. Verse 2 says, "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Then Christ makes this statement. He says, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," He makes this statement, "I will come again." And not only is He coming again, He goes on to say, "and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, ye know, and the way ye know." And Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whether Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus made that statement. Verse 6 said unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto Me, unto the Father, but by Me." Let's pray. Father, I sure love You this morning. Lord, I know in my flesh we sure don't show it like we should. We're not always where we need to be doing what we need to do. But Lord, I'm so thankful Your love never changes. It's constant. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, this morning, God, that Lord, no matter what a day would hold or where we might end up, Lord, I can know the truth of the fact that You are coming again. Lord, I pray, Lord, just for the next few moments, God, would You give us the power, the strength to stand, God, and wave the flag one more time, God, knowing, God, of this truth. Lord, I'm sure there's some here today, Lord, that are really looking for Your coming. They're anticipating, God, they're imagining, God, they're excited. But Lord, there's others today, God, that, Lord, they know You're coming, but they don't think it's today. And Lord, there's probably some here today, Lord, that's not even thought about it. God, it's not even in their vocabulary of their mind. Lord, I pray today, God, would You please stir. God, help us, Lord, the church of the living God, God, to understand this truth. Lord, we sure will thank You. We sure will praise You. Save them that are lost today, Lord. Draw those that are saved. And God, we'll thank You for what You do, Lord. For us in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You can be seated this morning. And I know this morning, and I'm going to say the majority of us this morning, there's probably maybe a few here this morning that's never heard the second coming of Christ. They've never been told much about that thought. But the majority of us this morning would say, "Well, preacher, I know that the Lord's coming." But as I even prayed, it come to my mind that even though that we know that He's coming, I'm afraid that the majority of the church this morning didn't wake up today thinking it could be today. But it could be today. The Bible says that not even the angels in heaven know No man knows the hour. But it doesn't change the fact that the Lord said with a promise, it's not something that might happen, it's not something that could happen, it's something that will happen one day. The Lord Himself will come again to this world, amen. Now the second time He comes, He will not set His feet upon this earth. We know that He's coming in the clouds. Why? To bring that church, to call up the church. But then as the church is ushered out of here, is then that tribulation time comes into play. There will be a time that the Lord Himself will come again and put His feet on this earth. And He's not coming back in that manger. He's not coming back as a lowly servant. But He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back as that judge of this world. He's coming back that He'll call and He'll put things in order just as God has placed them. But I wonder this morning as we sit here in the comforts of America, in the comforts of a church like this morning, how true in my heart is the fact that at any moment that trump could sound and the Lord Himself could come back. So we want to look at that thought a little bit this morning. Let me give us some more scriptures before we give you the points. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Again, nothing new. First Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that the flesh and blood and cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption." Verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery." This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Well, I like the authority of the Word of God. He writes this in a declarative way that there's no way that we can look beyond the fact the Lord said this is how it's going to happen. "The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in the victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Why this morning can we today, as we just spoke about the song that Brother Rick sang, as we tried this morning to stir our hearts, again, to go out and grab the gun of the gospel and to go out and to fight a good fight. Why? Because it is the gospel that set me free. It is the gospel that makes me whole. It is the gospel that made me saved. Friend, this morning, I want to say this morning, it's because of the truth that the Lord's coming back that I can go day by day knowing He said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Why? This is just for a moment. We put so much emphasis in this life. Look at me this morning. If you live to be 100 years old, and the majority of us this morning will not do that. If you lived to be 100 years old, what would that be in eternity? Not even a speck of a speck. But we put so much emphasis in what this life is, and we think that what we do now is all there is. Friend, I want to tell you this morning, I'm glad there's a bigger picture. And the Bible says the Lord is coming back. Look with me in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 4. verse number 13 says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." See, most of the time we never hear these except at a funeral. "Are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word..." Can't help but think what I'm preaching tonight. Preaching out, Lord willing, I'm going to preach out of Psalms 119 tonight on the Word of God. Tonight, this morning, I don't stand up here and try to give you some kind of dream. Brother David called me the other day and we was talking. I had something happen this week had happened to me in a long time. Us older folks, I know they say we dream every night. I had a dream this week that I woke up screaming. It's been a long time since I woke up knowing the dream that I dreamed. It was a terrible. I won't get into the dream, but, you know, it was a dream. This morning, what we're preaching, what we're telling you, it's not a dream. I have authority on the Word of God this morning. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died," verse 14, "rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself..." Now I want you to remember that. It's not the preacher you're going to have to wait on. It's not the church, it's not somebody else. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And he says to take what we just heard, and he says, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Today, church, God says to comfort you because he's coming again. But do you believe that? Is it more than just a head knowledge this morning? Let's keep reading, looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse number 1. "But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them and as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." You might dodge the preacher. You might dodge the law. But you're not going to dodge God. Verse 4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness." I'm not a child of darkness. I'm a child of light. "Ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8, but let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed unto us wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Then he makes that statement again, "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do." One last place, and then we'll give you some thoughts and we'll close. Look at Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24 is a dangerous chapter in the Word of God. We don't want to take things out of context this morning, but I want to take these words this morning and apply them to what we've read already to draw our mind to the fact that the Lord is coming. Look with me this morning in Matthew 24 and verse number 42. Well, let's back up just a little bit further. Well, let's just begin reading verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree, which his branch is yet tender, and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, the generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Praise the God there again for the word of God. Verse 36, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noe were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, that were eating and drinking, marrying and grieving in marriage, until the day that Noe entered into the ark. Now let me stop here and say this. I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a lot of people, especially now, the world could care less. They don't care that the Lord's coming. But a lot of the church looks at things and think, man, preacher, the Lord's got to be coming today. Look how bad things are. Look at all this. I see no negative in what he said about the days of Noah. What were they doing? They were drinking and eating and marrying and just living. They were more concerned with this world's life than they were the life after. This morning, most of the church this morning is more worried about what's for lunch. Amen. Or where vacation is going to be this year. Or who's going to win the ball game or the race. We're just going through the motion of life day after day. James said our life is like a vapor. It's here, then it's gone. But we put so much emphasis in that little speck of time. Verse 38 says, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah, he entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came. Did you hear what he said? And knew not until. That crowd there in Noah's day, when Noah entered that ark and God left that door open with an invitation for anyone that would to come. As Noah, day after day, as he's building that ark, preach the thought that there's wrath of God that's coming. They mocked him and made fun of him. But when the door shut and the clouds opened and it didn't drizzle, it poured water out of the ground and out of the air. Instantly they knew, oh no. There was no running for higher ground. There was no, I got to blow up my little inner tube. And knew not, verse 39 says, until the flood came and took them all away. Shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Verse 40 says, then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. Verse 42 says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that is the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Again, the Lord is coming. It's not something the Baptist church has dreamed up. It's not something that we as Americans have dreamed up. It's not something this preacher has dreamed up. It's something that God, as he left out of this world, as he ascended up into that place, he told his disciples that he would come again. And church, today in 2017, as we sit here today, as we sat here last Sunday, if God doesn't come back, we'll be here again next Sunday. I'm telling you, the Lord is coming back. And I see three things this morning that I want to try our best to drive into our hearts this morning that we need to get a hold of. The first thing that we find here in chapter 24, as we read, the Bible says that the truth is that he's coming. But then he says to watch. This morning we have been commanded to watch. Are you watching? I'm watching TV. I'm watching the days fly by. I'm watching my children grow. But we should be watching for the Lord to come back in any moment. And I'm saying this morning, when you're looking for somebody, when somebody, if you've made a date with somebody to come to your house and to eat supper with you and to fellowship, and you say, well, you know, y'all just come around supper time. That's a pretty general time. You don't wait till 7 o'clock to get things going, do you? No, you, from the time that the invitation's been made, there's planning that takes place. And as that day arrives, you're looking out the window. Hey, I hear, now around our house, something will bark if you drive up our driveway. But you're listening, you're looking, are you watching? And the Lord says that we need to be watching. That means we need to be at attention. We need to be every day of our life going through the fact that I'm looking at any moment for the Lord to come back. Now, a lot of people take that thought of watching, as I stated earlier, and he even says here that there's no need for him to write of the times. You know, we look back from our seat of religious teachings, and we sit back and we try to watch the things around about us, and I made mention of I think Wednesday night, that thing that Tony sent me from that guy, I forgot his name, Paul Harvey, and how he predicted in 1965 what our world would look like. I thought, boy, he hit the mark on the head. But we sit back and we try to govern God out of the newspaper. You know, well, Russia's lining up, and China's this, and all of this. God says that's not what you need to be doing. It's not a fact of when things are lining up. The fact is, he said to watch. That means every day attentively looking for the Lord to be here today. Are you expecting Him today? A lot of people look for the Antichrist. We're watching for the Antichrist. If you're saved, who could care less about that? I'm out of here and gone, hallelujah. I ain't seeing this tribulation. People try to figure out God. God says no man knows, not even the angels in heaven. So why this morning are we so busy looking around us, trying to figure out when God's coming back? No, God says, I'm coming back. You need to be watching. Now let me ask you this. I was telling, I think Brother Windham this morning, me and my pastor was talking this week. He says, you ain't going to believe what I just read, and nothing surprises me anymore. Do you know now there's people, and I believe it after he told me what we were talking about. He says there's now places that will take people with addiction problems. We know there's addiction to alcohol and to drugs and pornography and all that mess there. And I'm thankful for there's people working with that. But you know what one of the newest addictions things out there is? Cell phones. There are people putting their family members in rehab because they're addicted to their cell phone. That ain't me. If you left your Bible at the house this morning, would you have turned around and went back and got it? But if you left your cell phone, oh no, I got to run back and get a cell phone. We'll watch that cell phone. If we watch for the Lord to come back like we watch our cell phone, I said we. Don't get up and say the preacher said it was me. No, we. That thing buzzes. We forget who we're talking to. We forget about what we're doing. We're going to find out why it buzzed. Who texted me? Who emailed me? Who called me? What's happening? It's got our attention. This morning, church, if we this morning would be watching for the Lord to come back like we watch for this world happenings, oh boy, what better work we could see for the cause of Christ. We should look for the, we should be watching for the Lord. The Bible said this, the angels there when the Lord ascended back to heaven said this in Acts chapter 1 verse number 11 says, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? See, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go unto heaven. Even the angel said, look, he went up, he's coming back. Jesus himself said over in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 13, says, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. The fact is, this morning the Lord is coming. But I wonder this morning, church, how emphatically, how much effort do we put into the fact of watching? I didn't write this verse down. It's in Psalms, I'm pretty sure. It says the Lord directs us with His eyes. How can the Lord direct us with His eyes if you ain't watching Him? You know, if me and you're talking and I look over to the left, you're probably going to look over there too. Why? Because you're watching my... You know, that's one of the things. I don't know why this is here. Brother Daniel's back there. He's one of the teachers in school systems too now. Don't you hate when you're teaching somebody or talk? I hate to talk to somebody that won't look at me. That just bothers me. I was taught when somebody's talking to you, you put your eyes on them. You watch them. You listen to them. Today, people just got their eyes and mind everywhere else. Why? They're not watching. They're not interested. They're not listening. This morning, the reason the church we're not watching is because I believe we've been put to the place where we really don't think it's today. Oh, we know the Lord's coming. But if we really believed it was a day, we'd be watching for Him. Are you watching? Second of all, this morning here in Matthew chapter 24, we find where the Lord says in verse 42 to watch. But then there's another thing that He says here in verse 44, not only to watch. But verse 40 says, therefore be ye also ready. As much church as we ought to be watching, you better be ready when He does come. Because no matter if you're watching or not, guess what? He's coming. Don't you love it when somebody shows up unexpectedly? It's the preacher. Well, the Lord ain't going to knock on your door when He comes. He's just coming. How's He going to find you when He comes? Will you be ready? Now, the greatest of all thoughts of that thought of ready. Now, listen to me. There's some of you here this morning. You're not ready spiritually. If the Lord was to come back today, what does it mean for the Lord to come back? The Lord has promised He's going to prepare a place for us. And He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto me. Why? That where I am, ye may be also. See, this morning, the Lord is coming back for His bride. The Lord is coming back for His church. And friend, this morning I'm watching, I'm waiting for the Lord to come. And when the Lord... Now listen to me. You might not be looking. And you might not be ready. But when the Lord comes, I will tell you what's going to happen. In a moment, in an instant, in a twinkling of an eye, I'm going to be gone. If it was to happen today, before you could say, where did He go? I would be gone. And if He... I don't know, Brother Stokes. God don't think like me. It's a good thing. But if I could put a whisper in God's ear, God, I know You're coming, but come back on a Sunday morning about 11:15. Now you tell. Now listen. We laugh. We smirk a little bit about that. But if God did come back today, it's 12:10 right now. See, that killed most of y'all. You're not going to listen to a word I say the rest of the time. But if God come back at 12:11:15, the fact is, there will be many of you that will have to leave this place through the door. I'm going this way. All over this world, if the Lord came back this morning at 12:15, there'll be a lot of churches that will still have a lot of people sitting in their pew. Because it's not coming to church that makes you ready. It's not carrying a Bible that dress you up. It's none of those things that makes you ready. We need to be watching, but not only be watching, we need to be ready. And the friend, this morning, the greatest thing that you can do this morning is to be ready spiritually, that when the Lord comes, you're ready to meet Him. Amen. How do you do that, preacher? You get saved. Amen. You get born again. There's a transformation inside of you that God cuts loose. A new man inside of you. There's an old man and a new man. That's how I got ready. I got ready because Christ saved me. And this morning, if you're not ready when the Lord comes, it's not, hold on, God. Every time at my house, she's not here to defend herself, but it's the same. If she was here or not. We need to be going. One more minute. I'm almost ready. I'm leaving without you. Listen to me. If the Lord comes back today, I'm leaving without you if you're not ready. He says to watch and to be ready. We need to be ready spiritually as far as salvation goes, but we need to be ready spiritually in our walk with Christ. Now, I made a joke of that. Hey, it's the preacher. Shove everything under the couch and in the closets, and you know, you live at your house like I live at my house, you know, it's where you live. I don't come in to inspect your closets, I come to see you. Listen to me this morning. If the Lord was come back right now, is there things in your life right now that you need to get things ready? Well, preacher, I'm saved. That's not what I'm saying. Is your life in a way this morning that would be pleasing unto the Lord when He comes? Are you busy about His work? Are you doing what He's called us to do? Are you ready? He says to watch. He says to be ready. And then last of all, this morning, look with me in verse 45. He says, who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Are you faithful this morning? Will he find you faithful when he comes? He says to watch, to be ready, and to be faithful. We need to be faithful. This morning, there's a work that needs to be done. There's a gospel that needs to be given. This world needs to see Christ. I'm so ashamed at me. I'm so ashamed at our day. Blows my mind of what little bit I do know that goes on in the name of Christ. This morning, I want to be ready when He comes. I am saved, I know that. But when He comes, I want Him to find me being faithful to the work that God has called us to do. Preacher, you got to have a break every once in a while. I understand getting vacation. We just went on one. I need a vacation from people. Need a vacation from the workplace, whatever you might call it. But nowhere in my life have I ever found a place that there's a vacation from God. Yeah, preacher, but you know, everybody needs a... All right, let me come squeeze your neck and cut your air off and see how long you like that vacation from air. You got to have that air, don't you? Well, Paul said, for me to live is Christ. I got to have Christ. I need Him today, tomorrow, next week. Listen, church. There's a truth this morning that the Lord is coming. Are you watching? Are you ready? Are you faithful? Will God find you at your post when He comes? Let's stand together this morning.